Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes to the program from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Good morning. Quick question for Joe to start. I just saw this. What's up with a former Michigan State player getting kicked out of the game last night? Pretty exciting for a 29-point win.
Well, Gentry, it would be exciting to get Joe's answer to this if he could get back on time for the segment starting. But right now, he's not. He's not back on time. We'll have to get his thoughts on that here in just a second. You know, he's been doing radio in this program for like almost 6 years and can't figure out how long the break is, apparently.
Well, do you know what I'm talking about, Robbie?
I don't.
Interesting video.
I have to go watch it. Although he's Mr. Michigan State, so I can't wait to get his thoughts on this. What did you make? You were at the FCS title game last night, weren't you? What a game.
No, you know what? I was going to go, and that was one of those that sounded a lot easier to get to about a week ago than when it time came to do it. But I did watch it. It was a heck of a game. It really was. They went to overtime, first overtime game ever for an FCS championship game. Comes down to the last extra point. It's really a good show for Vanderbilt. It's a good crowd at that game, too.
Yeah, that's it. The crowd was good, and what a dramatic game that it was. So, Gentry, the names are out there. So is there anybody that really has stuck out to you yet in terms of the names that have been connected to the Titans? We saw a lot of them yesterday. Spagnuolo, Vance Joseph, you know, Kevin Stefanski obviously is out there now. Anybody, a couple of guys that really stand out to you that you are really intrigued by when it comes to the Titans?
I mean, I'm intrigued by the guys that we didn't know until yesterday were going to be available. You know, you hadn't really thought too much about Raheem Morris, Stefanski, guys like that. So we'll see. I feel like, you know, when we went through this with the Titans a couple of years ago, it seemed like there were a lot of up-and-coming type coaches, guys who hadn't been head coaches before, kind of coordinators with a lot of buzz about them. The focus this time seems to be on more veteran coaches and even the guys who aren't head coaches or older and been around the league a long time. So you get the sense that they're chasing experience a little more with this hire, which would make some sense given what happened with Brian Kelly. And as far as the favorite, I mean, it's got to be Matt Nagy. I've kind of thought that all along. You know, Joe's outlet, the Athletic, did a good story on Nagy here the last couple of weeks, and Borgonzi was name dropped in there for their relationship together in Kansas City. So at this point, I think it would be a surprise if it's not him. I think you kind of have to see it that way, but you never know.
Well, if that's the case, Gentry, I think, and we've talked about this. We talked about this yesterday on the show, and we've heard it from listeners. You know, going back probably a couple of weeks, you know, it would feel like, oh, you know, just basically the search was all a facade anyway, and he went and hired his buddy whose resume he helped, you know, whose interview skills or whatever he helped get ready to get this job. I know ultimately, I mean, I don't believe that Mike Borgonzi would just say, oh yeah, this is a guy, I'm not going to have an open mind about other things, but if that is the case, how prevailing a sentiment do you think that'll be?
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're going to learn a good bit about Borgonzi through all this. Because we've seen it both ways, right, with the Titans. I think one of the big knocks on Vrabel, and one of the things that was part of his undoing in Tennessee, was the fact that he was so reluctant to bring in new voices to his staff, that he kept always people from his own circle. And I think you saw a team that got a little stale because of it. But the flip side to that, I think, too, Chad Brinker last year, a lot of people looked at the GM candidate from Green Bay that he was friends with. And everybody thought that's who that was going to be. And it turns out it wasn't. And he ended up with Borgonzi. So I think at this point, Borgonzi looks like a pretty good hire. So is he going to do that? And there isn't really a right or wrong answer. Look, Matt Nagy, I do think that would be a prevailing sentiment if he's the coach for the Titans. But I think when you look back, he is a very polarizing topic in the NFL and has been for a long time for the job he did in Chicago, because the Bears fans were so critical of him by the time he left. And you look back, and the guy had a winning record there. I mean, his first year there was pretty good. You know, he's talking about you had Mitch Trubisky. So I'm not sure that would be a bad hire, even though there'd be a lot of people out there saying that it was.
So some good news on the Cam Ward front yesterday, Gentry, in terms of no surgery, it looks like, for Cam Ward this offseason. But, you know, obviously dealing with a shoulder injury, he's been healthy all year. And we've talked with you and others before about the work that's in front of him this offseason to improve the footwork, improve the mechanics, improve ultimately the accuracy coming back next year. So what's your concern level with this injury in terms of maybe halting some of that progress that I think we would all agree needs to be made from him this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's concerning, clearly. You know, regardless of the timetable or having surgery, not having surgery, I mean, the guy's not going to be, you know, slinging footballs around for a while. And that's not what you want for your rookie quarterback who clearly had some issues to work through mechanically, accuracy-wise, you know, being on – same page with the receivers, that kind of thing. You know, you'd like to, for him to be out there throwing. That said, seemed like good news yesterday, kind of a better case scenario than what we were originally hearing it from Jacksonville when the injury first occurred. It's a good thing that they don't look at it right away and say, yes, he needs surgery. But, you know, look, I know Will Levis struggled with a shoulder for a long time before deciding to have surgery. And this is one of those injuries that you hope it heals the way they think it will, because if it doesn't, then what? And then if you're sitting here having to have surgery in May or whatever, well, now you're affecting the season. So I do think it's good news. You just have to hope that rest and recuperation and whatever else they prescribe for Cam Ward here in the next few months works the way it should, and then he's okay for camp. But either way, I think we need to settle in for a pretty long off season of, you know, drip, drip reports about his shoulder, and, you know, the Titans just have to hope they're positive.
Yeah. And then it's you brace for every time he gets hit on that thing. Not that you wouldn't before, but if you have it surgically repaired, then it's sort of like, okay, you're missing a lot of time in the off season, but at least you know you took care of it, you know, without pretending to be any kind of medical expert. I don't know. Neither way sounds great, but this is definitely going to be something to watch. Also, Gentry, QB2, something to watch. I mean, after Brandon Allen the other day, you know, I guess give him a little grace since he didn't come close to a whiff of a snap before the last game. But I mean, they've got to get better there, right? There is a certain former second round pick who's under contract, but what do you think? How do you think that all shakes out behind Cam Ward at quarterback?
I mean, he's still on the team. Levis is still on the team, and you do wonder if it's not bad to have that guy if you do have some uncertainty about Cam Ward's throwing shoulder here for the next few months, just to kind of have him, you know, in your back pocket, and these guys can just trade off shoulder injuries each year. But I mean, you would have thought by now that they would have probably dealt Levis and he wouldn't still be on the team, but he is. And, you know, you're talking about a guy that will have a new coach just like everybody else will. And, you know, maybe he responds to that, and I don't think it's a terrible thing to still have Will Levis. You're talking about if you did need him to be the quarterback, he can do it on a very cheap contract. And that's a pretty valuable thing, especially if the Titans go into next season. Let's say Ward does need surgery later or something's preventing him from playing. You have Will Levis. I mean, this isn't going to be a wonderful team. It should be a better team. But I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if he ended up being the quarterback. And for me, I would, if nothing else, try to hold on to him as an insurance policy because he doesn't cost that much money right now.
So, Gentry, what do you make of the Ty Simpson situation? So there's been no word from Ty Simpson as to what he's doing moving forward here, whether that's going to the NFL, coming back to Bama, or now, after some comments that have been made from Chris Lowe, who said the other day that he would expect if he does come back to college football that Simpson could hop in the portal and that Tennessee could be a spot for him. Now all of Vol Twitter is convinced that Ty Simpson is the starting quarterback for Tennessee in the fall. So what do you make of the future of Ty Simpson that currently seems up in the air?
Well, I wish I had a little more insight on that one than I do. I guess I'll just wait and see. I don't, you never know. Too many times with this stuff, you'll ask the player, are you coming back? Oh, sure, I'm coming back. And then a week later, he's in the portal. It can work the other way, too. There's some what we've introduced into college football now are negotiation tactics that you would see, as a free agent in the pro league. So I guess you just kind of wait and see. But, wouldn't be a bad quarterback for Tennessee. And that question is still out there for Tennessee on what they're going to do here with McIntyre and the new freshman coming in and how they see things. And it does appear that the Vols are going to try to be active in the portal a little bit here. So you could certainly do a lot worse than a playoff quarterback.
No, I mean, that would be an incredible win for the Vols. Most of these guys, these top QBs now are getting gobbled up, that are in the portal. So yeah, that would be, what a story that would be. And of course, guy who was going to come back when his dad was going to be Jeremy Pruitt's QB coach. And of course, we know how that all went. Gentry, I do want to go back on the Titans. Just your view of the structure and Brinker and Amy Adams Strunk's statement last week. What do you think it means?
I liked it. It's something I've thought they should do for a while. The funny part of the statement was the use of the word traditional, more traditional role for a GM. Because as PK pointed out in the media room yesterday, that's admitting how untraditional it's been for the last few years, which is something the Titans kind of tried to say otherwise with how they've been doing things. And it never made sense to me after Rand Carthen was let go for that initial statement to immediately give all power of the roster to Chad Brinker without any thought about who the GM was going to be. No idea who it was going to be, and yet Chad Brinker, well, he's going to control the right. Well, why? And then you hire Mike Borgonzi, and it's like, well, why doesn't this you're talking about this guy's building the team, but he doesn't have final say over the roster? Well, that doesn't make any sense. So for the first time in a while, I actually feel like what the Titans are doing does make sense. And, I'm of the mindset that Mike Borgonzi has been impressive in media settings, and he's probably going to be again today. But just because he exudes competency, that's not the same as excellence. And the Titans have been devoid of competency for a lot of how they've been run here the last few years, as evidenced by the record. So I think Borgonzi has been encouraging, but he's been encouraging because he's been an improvement over how it's been. So now let's see how the guy really does the job. And, I think it's good that they're trusting him to actually be a real GM for whatever that's worth.
Gentry, before we let you go, now that Rex Road has been kind enough to grace us with his presence for the segment, do you want to re-ask your question to him?
Yeah, Joe, I asked you earlier about what's up with Paul Davis at the Michigan State basketball game, because that was interesting.
Oh, that's so funny, because I'm in a text thread right now. I think I know what he said. I won't repeat it on the air, but yeah, Izzo, like, get out of here!
Yeah, Izzo from across the court. Screaming,
get out of here! To one of his great players. And I'm sorry I wasn't here. I one thing I discovered this morning, sometimes you have a little power outage and then you have to reset your clocks. And I was like, gosh, it seems like a long break. So the stove clock's about 4 minutes slow. So I got in there. I'm like, oh yeah, they're already going without me. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry to both of you and to everyone.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Gentry, thank you for being with us. Great stuff as always. And we will talk to you soon, my friend.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest. Joe, we will get into the Ty Simpson stuff coming up next. Some interesting comments from Chris Lowe. And like I said, all of Tennessee Twitter now thinks that Ty Simpson is their quarterback heading into the fall. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Gentry Estes for the Tennessean for being with us in the last segment. Joe, the future of Ty Simpson, Alabama quarterback, up in the air. Could he go pro and go to the NFL? Is he coming back to college football at Bama next year? Or is he coming back to college football and potentially hopping in the transfer portal here and where he could be the next quarterback at Tennessee? Vol Twitter running with some comments that Chris Lowe threw out there, I believe yesterday, and this was on the Rocky Top Insider Lowdown show, and here is what Chris Lowe had to say on the Ty Simpson front that has Tennessee fans all in a buzz right now.
But I also don't think you want to go into next year playing a kid who's never played. And granted, McIntyre's been on campus for a year. I still think physically he needs to get bigger and stronger. So I think without question, Tennessee's combing the portal for a quarterback. And the one that's most intriguing, and Bama fans and Tennessee fans are going to sit up straight when I say this, is Ty Simpson. I do not believe Ty Simpson will be back at Alabama next year. I think he's gone. I think it's either he's going to the pros and going, you know, entering the draft, or I think he's going to go into the portal. Now he's, you know, Ty's been around for a while. He's a pretty savvy kid. His dad, Jason's as a coach. So they're not going to do anything without talking to the right people and talking to people who know, I think most importantly, Bob, a Tennessee kid who I think was interested in coming to Tennessee. There was that transition between Pruitt and Heupel, so it was sort of a weird time. I think there were other times during his career at Alabama where he might have thought about transferring, and Tennessee was in his thoughts. It just didn't happen. But I think this time, if he doesn't decide to transfer, and I think the thing this will – his decision, in my mind, will hinge on simply this. If he gets the kind of feedback from pro people that he is a first-round draft pick, I think he's gone. I think he'll go to the NFL. And you know what? He probably should. He got hit a lot this year. He took a lot of hits, got hit a lot, and this was his fourth year on campus. If he gets from NFL GM scouts, yeah, you're the third quarterback in the draft. We think you're going to go somewhere between 15 and 25. I think he's gone. If it's not, if that feedback, Bob, is not that emphatic about, well, maybe you slide into the second round, then I think he's going to look seriously at transferring. And I think if he does, I think he lands in Tennessee.
So that was Chris Lowe on the Rocky Top Insider Lowdown show, Joe. So obviously the last part of that has got Tennessee fans, you know, all over the place. Wow, Ty Simpson could be the quarterback. What do you make of Ty Simpson? A decision from him that has not been made yet, whether he's going to the pros, whether he's coming back to college football. And what do you make of the idea of Ty Simpson potentially being the quarterback at Tennessee next year?
Well, right off the jump, I'd say it's a pretty low chance. But, and no pun intended, Chris Lowe.
Nice.
But good stuff from Chris Lowe there, and really interesting. I totally agree with him on the pro thing. I've talked to Jason Simpson quite a bit about the whole NFL thing for a story I did a couple weeks ago. And, you know, as you'd expect, agents are telling them, oh, he's a lock, he's a first rounder. Doesn't mean they're right. If I had to guess, if he goes in the draft, I would bet that he goes somewhere mid to late first round. But I don't know that they're going to have assurance of that. You know, a big thing with him is, it's the back. The back injuries, that's not – now, again, they've said it's not a big deal, but the fact is he was getting epidurals before some of these games down the stretch. And back injuries, as we know around here, right? And I'm not saying it's the same thing as, you know, the sciatica with Caleb Farley, but back injuries are –
sciatica.
Like, yes. Or a little bit alarming. So it's like, on the one hand, you could – like come back to college, have a year, demonstrate that you're healthy and that it's all good and it's not a concern and be like a lock in a year. Or it's like, maybe you should go right now and in a, you know, pretty weak QB class. And who knows what next year's will be we're so wrong about like what the QB. I mean, like Arch, I guess might be the first pick now if he keeps getting better in 27. But who knows? This year, it's not great. This year, it's kind of soft, and it's one of those years where again, Fernando Mendoza is going to go first. Dante Moore, who just started playing, is a contender to go first. You telling me Ty Simpson isn't a first rounder? I think he would be. I just don't know that they will get the assurance that Lowe just mentioned there in that clip.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I also look, I have my doubt. You know, there's another thing here. Tennessee is recruiting Graham Simpson hard. Well, so is Vanderbilt. Yeah. So is Alabama.
Like so a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Ty Simpson's little brother. Very different type of player from Ty. Not the runner athlete he is, but as a passer, incredibly prolific. So that's another aspect of this too. I kind of just have my doubts. You know, obviously they went through the process, the Simpson family, through all this stuff, Robbie, of each year ending, and then it's like, oh, Milroe's the guy, and you're just going to be the backup, and now are they going to go get someone else? And, you know, through it all, he stuck it out. And I think there's a lot of pride he has in that, and they have in that, and that they have in Alabama. And I just, I just have a hard time buying that he's going to flip to rival Tennessee, even though they're in the state. His dad almost took the job at Tennessee. Graham's being recruited by Tennessee. I don't know. That would surprise me if that would ultimately be the outcome.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I think when you look at it on the surface, if I had to assign a percentage to it, Joe, I think it's more than a 50-50 shot he's going pro. Like I just think when you look at it, the way the quarterback class appears to be shaken out, and I say that obviously knowing, Joe, that they have not gone through the draft process yet. As we know, like, you know, one trip to the NFL Combine can change things for a lot of players. Like Anthony Richardson went from, what's he doing going out of college football, to, oh my God, he's taking fourth overall because of what he did at the NFL Combine. So I understand all that. But like to me, if you're a quarterback that is getting first-round feedback, this would be a pretty attractive year to just go ahead and go to the draft, because I don't think the quarterback class is going to be that strong. So I would probably start there. My expectation is that he's probably going to end up going to the draft. I mean, I also, Joe, don't think Chris Lowe just says stuff. Like, it's interesting to me that he was that emphatic about how he doesn't think Ty Simpson is coming back to Alabama. Like, if it was some random dude saying that, it'd be one thing. When Chris Lowe says something like that, I kind of pay attention to it.
Absolutely. No, I 100% pay attention to it. And again, I think to me, when he's in a story like this, there's obviously always the family stuff like that, but I think of it from the Tennessee side, from the college side. You know, he's very well sourced with Tennessee coaches and SEC and, you know, around college football. And so, and there's also reporting around VolQuest about Heupel going to Martin. So, yep. You know, so I mean, I think this is real from the Tennessee side. And look, man, if this could shake out for Tennessee, I'm picking them to go to the playoff next year. That's how much I think of Ty Simpson. I think Ty Simpson, yeah, I'm worried about the back. Look at what he before the back. And I know I'm not saying it's all the back. I think there's other issues. But, like, Alabama couldn't run the ball a lick this year. Ryan Williams was a huge disappointment this year. Their defense was okay. You look at what he was doing when he was healthy. He was on his way, I think, to potentially winning the Heisman, certainly to be in New York, and he was going to be discussed as a number one pick. I think he's that good. And I, you know, obviously you're talking about a pretty significant system change, but I think he would be amazing for Tennessee. So now, you know, you don't want to get Vols fans hopes up too much on this, because again, I think percentage is still pretty low. But this is not nothing. And if it were to shake out where they're just like, you know what, you know, I think the hope is the discussion of, look, if Ty has a good year and he gets through injury free, which of course everybody knows is no guarantee. But if you feel like he's going to get past this and that the back is going to worry teams now, that's, I think, the argument of, okay, come back for a year. And you know, I guess I don't understand totally right now why Bama is like. If I'm Bama, I damn well want him back. But yeah. I don't know.
It's very interesting. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the comments that Chris Lowe put out there that Ty Simpson could end up at Tennessee as their starting quarterback? We'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on Ty Simpson and what his future could look like. Is he going to the NFL? Is he going back to Bama? Could he be the quarterback at Tennessee? Some interesting comments from Chris Lowe that are making their waves. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the show. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie and Joe? Hey, I was asking Ian, man. So I ask you, isn't it – I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm not just going to be like, he's a Bama guy. No, he's a great quarterback. But isn't it supposed to be a niche quarterback to run the ball's offense? Like, not everybody – like, we've been told all along, not everybody can do it. I mean, it's a half-line offense, run faster than anybody else in the country. Like, can you just plug anybody in there? That's my only thing is, could he fit the offense?
It's an interesting question. Thank you, Adam, for the call. Like, I would say this, Joe. Like, to me, Ty Simpson, I think, can run any offense. What I've said is, in terms of the Tennessee part of this, he would kind of fit the mold, right, of, like, Heupel. The more distance you get from the Hendon Hooker part of this, and Hendon Hooker and Ty Simpson are not remotely the same type of quarterback. I get that. But, like, Hendon Hooker was prolific in this offense. And he went to the NFL, and it's not gone well for him since then. You know, they went through Milton and Nico, and then they find Aguilar, who's not a highly touted guy, comes in, has a great year in Tennessee's offense. So it makes you wonder, like, if you bring in players that are experienced, that have played a lot of football, can they handle, like, what does that mean for them in this offense? And one thing that I said at the beginning of all this, Joe, was, what does that mean if you go get an experienced guy who's also really, really talented? And they've not had that combo. They've not had the combo of a lot of experience, a lot of talent. Ty Simpson would fit that mold. I think he would be just fine in the offense.
Yeah, to answer Adam's question, I think it's really more – I actually think that it's more that the offense enhances quarterbacks and can make quarterbacks look better than what they are, which is a great thing for the offense. I'm not saying it works for everybody. I mean, look, we saw Joe Milton in the offense, and it just – he has some shortcomings that could not be overcome. And then we saw Nico, a young Nico in the offense. I would have liked to have seen Nico this last year and this coming year, and I think it probably would have looked pretty good. But I think that the offense gives quarterbacks answers that other offenses don't, which is why coaches like it. Why it works, why you see it a lot. We're going to see this offense against Miami in a national semifinal.
Yeah.
But what it hasn't done is won at all. And also there is the knock on it is that by giving the quarterbacks those answers in concepts and in ways that you just aren't seeing in the NFL, and in some ways it simplifies things, hurts a quarterback as he goes to the NFL because he's doing things he's not doing in the NFL, and he's not doing some things that he will have to do in the NFL. So
yep.
I think that's but I think Ty Simpson in this offense would be tremendous. I mean, because when it's operated at its best, and I think Aguilar did that this year too. Like, look, Aguilar, did this offense not elevate what Joey Aguilar is as a player based on all evidence we have? And of course it did. And I think with Hendon Hooker and Aguilar, and we would see this with Ty Simpson, certainly just the ability to throw in a little bit of QB run is just a big – makes it just that much more of an issue. I suppose you could say that about any offense, right? Like, if you have a quarterback that the defense has to account for as a runner, just makes it that much harder on the defense. But I just feel like it's with this offense, with what you already do in creating a light box, and what you already do with using the entire field horizontally, you throw in a quarterback who can hurt you with his legs, and it can just become impossible for defenses.
Cam on the text line says, I think the truth behind the scenes is that Alabama is moving on from Ty. Most Bama fans I know put a lot of the season's shortcomings on Ty, which is ridiculous. I think he goes pro also, but I have hope. And it would be a huge in showing Graham Simpson what a quarterback can do in the Simpson. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I agree in the last part. Yeah, I don't know, Cam. That's an interesting point, and maybe you're right. I think that's crazy. I mean, a year ago, again, The Simpsons were doing all the things that you do. They were talking to other programs. There were offers coming in, and Jason Simpson had a meeting with Kalen DeBoer, and Kalen DeBoer was like, "Yeah, I mean, I think your kid's good. Like, we're like, he's our guy." I don't understand how after the entirety of this season. And also, by the way, how tough the kid is playing through this crap, getting an epidural every week and still going out there and taking those hits. How you, unless maybe they think they're like, oh, the back thing's a problem. I don't know. If it's not that the back thing scares them away, what is Alabama doing that's going to be snap your fingers and it's better than what Ty Simpson gave you this
Yeah, I don't
year? That's
know.
crazy to me. Crazy.
I agree. I don't know. I mean, do they have some quarterback there that's behind him that they absolutely love? I have no idea what that looks like. I
Well,
mean,
the kid who played, who was it?
Mac. Yeah.
Washington. Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's talented. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe DeBoer's like, I just think he's gonna end
Austin
up doing
Mac's my
better.
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's short of that or the back being an issue. I mean, I don't know. I think Simpson's a leader. I really do. I think he's a legit leader and a guy you want at the tip of the spear of your football team. But hey.
Well,
We'll see.
like I said, it's something that's going to be interesting to monitor. I mean, Joe, I would assume that we're going to find out an answer pretty quickly here. I mean, the portal's open at this point. So, like, if you're going to – either way, if you're going pro, that decision's going to have to come pretty quickly. If you're Ty Simpson and if you're staying in college football and you have any sort of idea that you're going to transfer, well, we're going to have to find out here pretty quickly. So – over the next couple of days, Joe, I would assume we're going to get a resolution on the Ty Simpson part of this one way or the other.
Yeah. And because, like you said, like with Bama, if it's not Mac, it has to be Mac. If it's not him, because, I mean, all the, or most of the prominent QBs have already sort of
Committed.
have chosen up their sides, at this point. So it would have to be that. And yeah, it's coming fast here. I would think that we'll know this week. Now you don't. I don't know the NFL declaration isn't for a bit, right?
Yes.
I think it's more like the 17th or something like that. So there's some time on that. But if there's no movement, there's nothing that happens, and there's no official word out there, then I think then you can probably assume he's just going to the NFL if we get through a couple of days and nothing's happened.
Oh, and again, like in the backdrop of all this, there's the Ty Simpson stuff going on. I mean, I guess there's not a resolution yet on the Joey Aguilar stuff. So, like, if Tennessee doesn't land Simpson, like you said, all these other quarterbacks are committing elsewhere right now. So right now it's like you've got Faizon Brandon, you've got George McIntyre in your quarterback room. Regardless of whether they go find a starting one or not, they still need to go get another quarterback somewhere, right? Like they need another quarterback to add a third one to the room. So, I mean, Tennessee's going to pick up a quarterback. I'm just telling you, I mean, Vol Twitter, there are some members of Vol Twitter that are just convinced that Ty Simpson's going to be the quarterback next year. And man, what a story that would be.
Yeah, I mean, I saw like on VolQuest, there's a poster who put some tweet that's like basically it's a done deal, but like
I
the
saw
tweet,
that, yeah.
the account's like a nine
It's like
follower burner.
message board
So
geniuses type account, yeah.
yeah, you gotta just and most people, by the way, on the board are like, yeah, okay, I'm taking. I'm taking that from you. Sure thing. But again, Austin Price is on this, and other people are on this. Who cover the balls, and it's not nothing. There's no doubt about that. And man, if it were to come to pass, for one thing, then you'd really feel good about Graham Simpson,
Yeah.
right down the road. And Graham, like Graham Simpson, like no question, like. I know that like he likes Tennessee a lot. He also loves Vanderbilt. It's a really interesting battle, and that's the kind of battles we can start to have around here if Vanderbilt's going to be what they became this year, and we're going to have maybe more of the in-state battles for top recruits, which is part of what a rivalry is supposed to be. But just for next year, to me, that would totally change the ceiling on that team.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
It's the excessive sex and the excessive violence.
I don't know what's going on, man, but I'm feeling you right now.
Uh-oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
But I just hate sports.
What do you want me to do, hug and kiss him?
Fart ye, I won't do what you tell me.
Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve, ready to fire him.
Bag up, bag up. Bag up, Terry.
Steve banging Inglewood right now. Inglewood, get him, Steve. You in Inglewood, Steve?
Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood.
I might lose my mind today.
As I thought I would do, I have no idea what your question was.
It is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Before we get to the topic today, I do want to, and we could. You know, I'm doing a little digging myself, so maybe we'll have some more information or more discussion on the Ty Simpson thing later in the show. A point that's been made to me, and it's also being made on the text line, my text line, and this text line. You know, Keelon Russell is the guy you need to think about. He redshirted this year, freshman, five-star, Duncanville, Texas, and strong belief that he's special and the next star quarterback at Alabama. Now, as we know, some of these great quarterbacks in recent years, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, have done the I mean, Nico had the same path. You redshirt that first year, you get stronger, and then it's your time. And so I think that's maybe a little bit of the thought process at Bama. And then, of course, you do have the – like, look, personally, I would take a 23-year-old healthy Ty Simpson 7 days out of seven over a five-star freshman who hasn't really played much, right? Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
However – if you're Kalen DeBoer, in the nature of today's game, if you do that, if Ty comes back, do you lose Keelon Russell? That's right, like that's the game you have to play with quarterbacks. Now, I would say my argument would be to Russell, hey, man, like another year is not the end of the world, and maybe you can be weaved in next year, and then it's all yours in 27. But that's just not how it often goes. So that's that to me makes it a little easier to understand on the Bama side what the issue might be, right?
There you go.
So there you go.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see. We may have more to talk about before the show's over. But I'd like to go to I think we need to kill this thing right now. And so I'm gonna try to do it. You know, coaches so often, and we like to rip them for it, Robbie, they do something dumb. And everybody tells them it was dumb. And then they're like, yeah, well, you just like to second guess. For example, you know, Brian Callahan, as we've talked about before many, many times, season opener, before they ever ran a play, deep in their own end with a rookie quarterback against one of the best defenses in the league, which we know now is the defense of a number one seed.
Yep.
With the Broncos not having enough timeouts to force the issue, the obvious thing to do before we ever saw a play run was to run the football and take that lead into halftime. And Brian Callahan stupidly did not do that. And then there's a pick, and that was a disastrous sequence in a disastrous game in his disastrous tenure and a big part of why he was gone. And what did he say afterward? Well, you guys just like, if something doesn't work out, you just like to second guess. No, dude. It's first guessing. But my God, the second guessing on Cam Ward right now has to die. A quick death, okay? So Mark H., I've already told Mark H. that you probably created my rant today. He's for it. He says he's glad he could supply me with material. So I appreciate it, Mark H., on the text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. This is what he said, and we've heard this already this week. I mean, Mark called in yesterday. Mark from Nashville called in yesterday and said, guys, this has to die. This is what Mark H. said. Quote, I said it weeks ago. No value in Cam Ward playing the last few games of a meaningless season. Now he's dealing with an injury wasted on getting more experience in a handful of games. Hate to see it, end quote. So let me ask you this. What should the Titans have done? Why play him at all this year? Why not draft a Cam Ward and then just build up the best possible football team, however long it takes, great offensive line, skill guys, get a good defense, get a good special teams, and just have a stunt double at quarterback, okay? Just put in a stunt double at quarterback until finally you can put in your precious commodity rookie quarterback and have him on the field. I mean, guys, this is the type of thing that gives coaches fuel when they say, oh, so something didn't work out, now you want to second guess. This is terrible second guessing. Of course you play Cam Ward. Of course you play him every snap you can play him this year. Not one person last week, the week before, a month before that said, well, you should sit Cam Ward. If you were going to do that, sit him in week four when we knew they sucked by then. It's complete nonsense. And we have enough things right now to yell about and argue about and wonder about in a coaching search for this to get any more oxygen. I just probably gave it more than it deserved, but it's not like Mark H. is on an island here. Like, it's way too frequent that I'm seeing this week. And it's just, this is the type of second guessing that helps coaches when they try to say that people just second guess.
There's no reason at all heading into that game where anybody with a brain would have thought you would have sit Cam Ward. He needs all the reps he can get. You cannot put your quarterback in bubble wrap. This is the National Football League. And look, to his credit, he's been pretty durable this year, right? Like, he's been hit a lot. And some of that's his own doing. Some of that's with the offensive line. Look, it sucks that he got hurt. It does. You know, fortunate for him, he's avoided surgery by the looks of it. And he's going to be fine as they move forward here. But had they set Cam Ward down the last week or the last couple of weeks of the regular season, everybody around here would be screaming about, what are you doing? Like, you need the guy to get as many reps as possible, and you're sitting him down the last couple of weeks of the season. So, yeah, like, I don't think it's a very popular thought that's been out there, but I would hope that if you're being realistic about the conversation, and now not just because he got hurt in the last game of the year where it's convenient to throw this out there, that this was some popular idea before. No. Had they set him down the last couple of weeks, people around here would be going nuts about it.
I mean, you talk about unwatchable, but also nonsensical.
Yeah.
Nonsense. They were going to be bad this year. You know, like Dennis said, it's like, you know, months ago you would have made the decision then if that's what it's about. It's about, the season was about him improving. How does he do that?
He's got to play.
Butch Jones mental reps? Butch Jones, by the way, one of 18 teams to have three bowl games in the last 3 years. Just want to point that out. Now, it's nonsense, and it needs to die. So I brought it up here, and I'm trying to think, like, if someone brings it up ever again, like, I'm trying to think, well, should we, like, do, like, a one-month ban or something like that? Or am I being a little too harsh?
I don't know.
There's worse takes, there's worse. I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, Billy from Bellevue, Andrew from Dover, Cam, Billy from Bellevue wanted some love. All of them mentioned Keelon Russell, so just want to make sure that the Bama fans are all over this.
I meant to get to this yesterday real quick, Joe, but I want to get your thoughts on this very quickly as we kind of spin off the rant here. I saw a stat over the weekend in the NFL that I could not believe. And Zach Rosenblatt threw this out there. Garrett Wilson was the leading receiver for the New York Jets this year, who, by the way, played in 7 games and he didn't finish all of those games. He had 395 yards receiving and was the leading receiver for the New York Jets this year. That is maybe the craziest stat I've ever seen. 17-game schedule. Not like one player over 400 yards.
Like, that's, you'd expect that stat to lead an NFL team in receiving in like 1952.
Yeah. I
mean, Raymond Berry, 400 yard mark. I mean, wow.
I had another one, too.
That's special.
For the Jets, for the first time in NFL history, a defense failed to record a single interception across
the whole
entire
year.
Season.
Yeah, not one interception the whole year.
You're actually, that's a great point. Like, which of those stats is crazier? And as someone pointed out, I forget who tweeted this, but it's like Aaron Glenn like made his career. He had like 40 some career. He had like six pick sixes. And yeah, all this stuff. His team got zero.
Couldn't intercept one pass. You know how hard that is?
I mean, the combination of pass defense and pass offense for that team, it's got to be up there.
Titans fans, it could be worse.
Yes, it could be.
615-7725 is our phone number. We will get back into the latest on the Titans coaching search coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.